Are you ready to dream on? Do you know how to fly high and soar among the clouds? Get ready to live adventurously, because the Laura Meeks Show starts now. Listen as Laura lifts you off the ground while teaching you how to fly high. Forget ground-level drama and be prepared to confront your dreams head-on as she encourages you to navigate towards your North Star and into what just might be the best life you've imagined. Dream on. Live adventurously on The Laura Meeks Show.
I love that intro to the best life that you could ever have. I think that my personal quest and my mission is to help each one of you create a life that you love by bringing your very special gifts. Each one of us has a very, very special gift to bring to this world, and I want to help you bring that. To do that, then I have crafted up this incredible radio show and podcast so that we can talk to the kinds of people that can help us do that. Now, what I love about dream on means it's to figure out what's in our head and what are the things that we want to do. Whether you're young and you're starting out your career and you want to be in a rock band, or whether you're older. I was just with Mary Morrissey this weekend, and her mother started an incredible adventure at the age of 86. She didn't know what she wanted to do. Next thing she knows, she started painting flowers on china. That kind of an unusual thing, but it was a passion for her, and it actually turned into a money-making deal. And then she went on to build a nonprofit at 89. So there is an incredible life out there for all of us. I like to think of life as an adventure. I like flying high, meaning that we do the best that we can do with what we have. And in light of that, then I like to bring you people who can really shed some light on that. One of the things I found in my life as I've tried to transform my life and live the best life that I can live is that, and you may recall from your childhood, your mom might say the same thing your dad says, but if your dad or your mom says it, one or the other is going to really connect to you, and the other is like, hey, I just told you that. That, I think, is true for this life as well, is that there's a lot of things that I can say that I think will connect directly to you, but there are other people in the world that can shed some light on similar subjects. And with that thought in mind, you'll see over, now on my screen, it's over here, I have brought with me Michael, K. Michael Kirkaru. Michael is a minister in training, author of, Michael, hold up your book. It's Heartlight.
This is Heartlight.
Illumination.
To Illumination. Illusion. Honor, Soul Whispers Within.
Yes. So this is available on Amazon.com, as all books are available on Amazon. Michael is a lecturer and a workshop leader. He has an incredible workshop called Me to We to One. I'll let him explain that to you. But Michael, say hi. And you said you had a story. Let's start with a story.
Well, I do have a story, Laura. But first, I want to make a comment about Mary Ann Morrissey's mother that you commented about, not letting age be your cage. And that's one thing in transformation, moving beyond that concept of letting age be our cage. And the cage that we're talking about in transformation, and I talk about in Heartlight, and I know you talk about in Fly High Living, is the transformation beyond not metal bars. It's not the metal bars that put us in a cage, but it's the thoughts of our mental making that build that cage. So we build the cage with our mental making, not with metal bars. And we transform our thoughts by seeing things differently and by releasing our prior thoughts and releasing, taking a new lease on new thoughts. So it's about releasing the old and releasing, taking out a new lease on new concepts. So there's a story I love about 2 monks walking in the woods, and they come upon a stream, and they have a vow of silence between them, not allowed to speak. And as they come to the stream, there's a woman there waiting to cross the stream, and she explains she can't swim. So one monk picks up the woman, carries her across, puts her down. She nods. She's very grateful. She walks her way, and they walk their way. Well, about 45 minutes later, one monk breaks the vow of silence and says, I can't believe you picked up that woman and carried her across the stream. And the other monk says, I put her, because we were not allowed to touch women in our order. The other monk says, I put her down 45 minutes ago, and you're still carrying her. And that's the concept of transformation, putting down our thoughts, putting down our beliefs, putting down our religions, and stepping out beyond any precedent of the known into the unprecedented of the unknown. And it's in that unknown, that leading edge, that all things become possible.
Well, and that's a great segue into let's talk about letting go, because you and I have talked about this some, and I think it's an important challenge that we face. You and I were talking before the show. I did a presentation last night for American Business Women on doing your New Year's. What do you call that when you promise you're going to do something on New Year's?
Resolution.
Yes. New Year's resolution. New Year's resolution. And so one of the things that I told them, and it ties into what you're talking about, is that, and I used weight loss as the event. You want to lose weight, and so you're going to think about all the things. So you make this resolution, you know, I'm going to, and there's a couple ways to say that resolution. I'll say it in the best way I can. I'm going to build a body that can endure Disneyland for, you know, 6 hours with my grandchild, and I can have full energy. That would be, to me, a good way to say I want to lose weight and get a better body. But the challenge that I presented to them was this, is that I said, well, tell me about losing weight. And, you got to go to the gym. It's going to take a while. We're going to have to not eat stuff. We can't eat carbs. We can't eat fat. You know, there's all these like constrictive things that you're thinking about as far as you wanting to move forward or transform something. Now, the counter to that, the thing that's going to take you out, I think, of your diet is when you're presented with something really tasty. So I use the idea of pizza. So I said, you've described weight loss. So somebody describe pizza to me. Every one of us has a real crystal clear vision of pizza. It's round, it's sliced, it's gooey, it's cheesy, it's crusty, it smells good. It just, there's pepperonis and all kinds of other things on it. And you have an incredible emotional attachment. And you've done this for years. You know, I'm 60 plus years, I've thought about pizza. And so the challenge to me is that when you're making a transformation like that and letting go, I've had 60 years of this paradigm, of this pizza paradigm. It's ingrained in my head. And for me to make a transformation past that, I've got to somehow let that go and or overpower that paradigm. So I would have to craft a paradigm that's so enticing that, and to me, this is why I use the Disneyland. If I had in my brain the idea that I was going to go to Disneyland with my grandson or my granddaughter and spend a whole day with them riding rides and eating food and walking around, I'd have to be in really good shape to do that, to have the energy to do that. So if that was my vision, I think that if pizza showed up, I could go, you know what? I love pizza, but this vision is more empowering than that one. So talk to me about letting go. How do you help people let go of their paradigm?
Well, there's a song we sing in spiritual meetings, and it's I release and I let go and I let spirit run my life. So it's that transition from our linear thinking, our intellectual thinking, into awakening to that. What scripture talks about is that still small voice within. And I call them the soul whispers within. And let me just read you something, if I can, that speaks about this in scripture. And it's from Kings 19:12. And it speaks directly to the still small voice within. The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. Behold, the Lord is about to pass by." And a great and mighty wind tore into the mountains and shattered the rocks before the Lord's presence. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. And the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a still small voice within. And that still small voice within said, "What are you doing here?
I'm rocking in this earthquake is what I'm doing.
In the presence of all of these conditions, what are you doing here?" And the opportunity in transformation is to move beyond the appearance of the condition into the openness of consciousness where we hear the answers. They come to us. And as you were speaking, something came to me about the pizza. Pizzas, when they're ordered or you buy them at the store, they come in a box. And so we're limited to the box of our perception. And so when we open a pizza box, we see a pizza. But we could change what's in that box. And we could take that pizza box, and instead of having a pizza, we could make a vision map and what I like to call a welcome map. And we could buy a pizza box, an empty pizza box, and put a welcome mat in there. So when you open the pizza box, you have a welcome mat to whatever you choose to declare. And it isn't that we make things happen as merit, make them happen, we make them welcome. And so what we're making welcome in our life, in financial prosperity, in physical well-being, in our spiritual relationship, in our creative expression, is seeing a box, putting something different in the box. So we open that lid, and what a great idea to have a pizza party. And people show up for a pizza party, and they're the boxes, and they open the boxes, and the gift you're giving them, it's always the gift of ourselves that we're giving.
Yeah, well, honestly, I
did. So there's breaking the paradigm. Now, you hungry people, hungry and angry people, but if you did this, and you did it in the presence and the wherewithal of love, we can make a shift. And so that's what we're doing, finding exercises, finding a way of taking love from a noun to a verb, you know, actionizing love. And that's kind of what ministry is about. Not love as a noun, not speaking to it or about it, but showing up in that presence, in that oneness, in that gift. And you can even be silent in that gift. And your presence is so powerful and so clear and so centered that everyone's vibration is shifted. Now, I'll let you experiment with that pizza party.
Yeah, I know.
First,
listen,
and you let me know how that goes. You email me how that goes.
Oh, yeah. This is a. Well, and honestly, spirit in action. You know, you and I are talking here over this Zoom connection.
And I got to get a piece of pizza. I'll be right back.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, this idea, because that really did spur something in my head, because. You're absolutely right. You know, if the pizza guy shows up, we've had all these experiences where the pizza guy shows up. You got, one or two pizza boxes and the extra bread box, and you get put it
one
all
or two. How about like five or six pizza boxes?
And you open lots it of up, pizza. And you know that. Ooh, here's the pizza. But imagine if you opened it up and it was filled with a Caesar salad. You know, it's like the paradigm. You know, and to me, this is a somehow, some way, we have to work this into a seminar. I'm starring this idea, only because, and in fact, I'm doing a workshop on perception, and the paradigm and the perception of just that pizza box is we know what's inside it, at least we think we know what's inside it, and so if we put Caesar salad in it and put it out on the table and said, "Okay, everybody, it's lunch," and they open the box and they see Caesar salad, that would break a paradigm. I mean, that is like, whoa, wait a second. And truly, you know, for somebody who's in that weight loss phase of January of every year, that also might be a way to break that paradigm, not only to maybe do that at home, just like, hey, we're going to take a pizza box and put salad in it so that when I open the pizza box, I am now having an experience of salad instead of pizza. Might make it easier, you know, part of the challenge, I think, when everybody goes on diets in January is that you're on a diet and others aren't. You know, it's like when we went on a cruise. You know, it's hard to sit at dinner when everybody's having lobster and steak and you're going to have, you know, a small bowl of soup when it's food is plentiful on the cruise, you know. So, but also I also think it'd be a great seminar idea just to get pizza boxes. And then, like you say, I one of the ways to keep your vision in front of you, and I used this in my seminar last night, is that when I was looking to fly gliders, I took a test glider ride. And during that ride, I took pictures of myself in the glider. And there was joy on my face as I took this picture of me in the glider. I turned that into my screen background so that every day when I came into my office, I would look and see myself having this emotionally happy experience in a glider so that I would overcome the challenge of doing all the study and all the other things that have to get that license. So I like the idea of visioning or vision boarding. As you say, you call it welcome mat. Is that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I call it. It's an exercise I do in my workshops, and it's the welcome mat exercise. And we have you vision. What's your welcome mat at your home? Wherever you are, what is you, as you cross the threshold of your home? And if you have a welcome mat out there, what does it say? And if you don't, what would be the welcome mat you would like to have welcome you home every day when you approach your front door? There's a welcome mat there. What are you welcoming in? And in ministry, we like to talk about the spiritual qualities of peace. Almost everybody would like to have a peaceful home, a peaceful feeling wherever they are, and joy and bliss and bounty and abundance and power is one of the spiritual qualities.
Yeah.
And so you put those spiritual qualities in whatever form you choose. And as you step across the threshold of your home, what's on that welcome mat, you carry into the presence of your home. So the box of your home, you're now radiating out a whole new energy filtered through the God qualities of gift and love and light and life and joy and peace and beauty and bliss. And those shift the energy within the walls of your home to where people passing by feel this, family members feel this, and they're drawn to you. They're drawn because you feel welcome in your home, you feel welcome in your life, and they feel welcome.
And there's physically, would you create this mat and put it on your front door?
Yes. Yes. And I have people that create it on their computer, create a welcome mat and design it on their computer. And part of the idea of any exercise that I like to do in a workshop is getting people to express their creative flow. There's this energy that flows in as and through us, and we can call it presence. And what's a joy for me, I had someone who did a workshop recently and brought me a welcome mat they created, and they created the most beautiful welcome mat on their computer. Flowers and hearts and joys and the texture of fabric. You can create this. That gets the creative flow going, the creative juices going, the creative joy going. It expresses in your welcome mat, you've created something, and that's the beginning of power, is to create a mold, create a shape, create a form, which this energy can flow in as and through you to create something. And as you touch the power of your own creativity, oh my gosh, I created a welcome mat. That might go into creating a whole line of cards, of welcome cards, of electronic e-cards. It just expands. As you create, it keeps expanding. We align with that expansion. And that's really how my book came about. Idea of a title, chapter, headlines, and that just kept filling in and flowing and changing. And being willing to show up in the presence of creating a book. It showed up.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I love the idea. I got like 10,000 things rolling through my mind of how I can use this pizza box, either just to have salad, or you could put your vision inside the pizza box so that you have this experience of, you know, and a lot of it depends on, I like the pizza box idea just because I haven't, you know, a long time experience with pizza, but it could be a different thing. I love the welcome mat. I've not heard that, vision boarding. Tell me how you go from
just two creative minds working together. It's all one mind. So playing with the pizza box idea, you could do a workshop where you had empty pizza boxes. People open them up and they can draw their vision. They can list the qualities in
their vision.
That pizza box becomes a palette. You know, it becomes a blank canvas.
Oh, absolutely.
I like to take the brush strokes of your life and bring them to the blank of God's canvas. And the blank of God's canvas can even be an empty pizza box.
Well, one of the things that I find very, very important in my work in visioning and affirmations is, and this is part of what I said last night, is that you need a crystal clear vision. In my world of flying, I call it the flight plan for life. You need to create your vision or your flight plan for you're going to go from A to B. And so to do that, you can't just go, I'm going to fly west. You know, in the airline world or in the Air Force world, we didn't just fly west. We flew from A to B. I mean, very specifically from A to B. You know, I'd fly from runway 36 at Denver to runway 27 at LAX. And I knew every point in between and who I was going to talk to, what altitude I was going to be at. I knew all the details. And I think it's important. The first piece is to have a really crystal clear vision of what you're doing. But the other piece of it, and this is why I kind of like the pizza box idea, is if you have an overwhelming, like, emotional experience of opening the pizza box and smelling it, that gives you that emotional piece. So that if you created your vision board inside a pizza box, then you would already have the emotional tie to the pizza box. And when you open it up, you would see your vision and you would have like a double whammy. It would be like, wow, you know, I got the pizza box and, oh, there's my vision. There's my granddaughter. And we're, you know, we're riding, you know, the mine shaft ride at Disneyland or whatever it is. And that would cement in. Because part of my question to you, we've got a couple of minutes before we go to the break. Part of my question would be, How do you get from peace, joy, abundance, academic, intellectual topics into bringing it into your heart?
Entering that heart
space.
On
that one.
Sure. There's a concept. There's a book called The Hero's Journey by Joseph Campbell. And part of the process for myself, and it is to each of us to discover that within themselves, is moving beyond the person of Michael. I am Michael. And moving beyond the personality of I'm a minister, I'm an author, I'm a lecturer, I'm a workshop creator. Moving beyond that into the presence of just being. Just being present. And as we get quiet, that still small voice within that I like to call soul whispers, they're always speaking, they're always guiding, guarding, and gifting us when we listen. And when we get to that state of listening presence, that which brings us joy just becomes our natural state of being and flowing in the moment. And I just rediscovered in my life something I've loved to do and brings me to joy and peace and bliss, and that's cooking. It's a way to put an end to the to-do list of the day, to-do list and to be. It shifts me from to-do to be. About 4 o'clock now, I will stop my day, end of the to-do list. That which didn't get done today will get done tomorrow. What got done today was perfect, whole, and complete. Step into my kitchen and I create. And I create with fresh vegetables, I feed my body well, I take the time to enjoy that space. And what I'm finding is that when I share a meal with someone, it brings joy to them. So when I share my joy comes back to me multifold.
how hard is it for you? And we've got in 60 seconds or so. Give me the answer. How hard has it been for you to get off the to-do list, the I've got two more things to go before I stop, and actually just stop at four and say, okay, this is where I'm at?
It's been up until now a challenge. And I think the challenge was that we have been so trained to do from kindergarten on. We've been trained to study for the exam, to get a certain grade, to get a gold star because we got the certain grade or we didn't get the gold star. And so to move from the belief that when we do what we're supposed to do, when we fall in line, when we live a linear life, that it will lead to joy, there's a point at which we follow the rules and they don't lead to that life of joy. And that's the point of transformation and possibility, that we can move from the impossible of the to-do list into the I am possibility of the presence of being. It's a whole new way of living.
All right. Well, your timing is fabulous. We're going to take a quick break here. For those that are in the listening audience, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to follow that line of thinking. Because it is important to somewhere in your life, you're going to get that feeling that there's got to be more. And what's the possibilities? When we come back, Michael and I will tackle that problem of what happens when you get there and where do you go from here? This is Laura Meek's show. Stick with us. A lot more to come. Be right back.
Do you know how powerful your thoughts and beliefs are in determining your experience of your life? Is it really true that simply by changing some of the words you use in your day-to-day language, that you can change your life? I'm Megan Edge. Join me on Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Coming to you live on TransformationTalkRadio.com is the Brilliance Ultimatum, Time's Up with Claudette Rowley. Powerful conversations, practical innovations, and transformative solutions as Claudette and her guests delve into the possibilities and what she calls reality resistance. Join the cultural revolution and annihilate obstacles. Check it out at culturalbrilliance.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Hey, this is Laura Meeks. Welcome back to the Laura Meeks Show. Fly high living, dream on, fly high, live adventurously, dreaming on, building a vision of what you would absolutely love to do. And once you have captured that vision in some form, and we're going to talk about the pizza box vision in a minute, but once you have a vision, then you can take some action and fly high. Do the things that you can do with the stuff that you have around you so that you can lift yourself off the runway and into the clouds to some place that you can really have an adventure. And to me, life is an absolute adventure. I've been really binging on Jonathan Livingston Seagull, a book by Richard Bach. And one of the themes of Jonathan Livingston Seagull is that he is a seagull that really likes to fly. And the seagull community is like, no. Our job is to fly out and get some fish or some stuff and then come back. Our job is you fly to eat. And Jonathan says, no, I eat to fly. And his whole book is about his adventure. So I like to think my life is on that same flying adventure. I'm in this little balloon right back here, having my adventure. We're here with Michael Kirkrew. He is the author of Heartlight, Illusion to Illumination. Did I get it right?
You did. Honoring Soul Whispers Within.
And we in the last segment, we were talking about the how to take something, and I think this is a genius idea, is how to take something that has potentially a negative content in the sense of, we were talking about dieting and then getting a pizza box. If you're on a diet, for me, when I'm on a diet and my kids come over with two boxes of pizza, it's sometimes challenging not to just like dive in to the pizza. So in that sense, getting a pizza box might have a negative connotation. But one of the things that Michael was talking about was that, hey, we could turn that potential negative into a positive. You have a vision of what a pizza box is and what the beauty of a warm, juicy, gooey pizza would bring to you. And if we can use that trigger into a positive event and put your vision inside the pizza box or a salad inside the pizza box, you could take that pizza box and turn it into an incredible jump into a new future. Now, Michael, one of the things that we were talking about a little bit on the break, and I want to kind of follow down that line of thinking, is that as a human, we're down here, we get to Earth, we are taught by our parents and then our teachers, and we go deep into this academic world. At least in our country, you know, it's very much about going to school, doing the work, getting the grades, getting the gold star, and that sets us into this do world. And I do think one of the things that as we were kind of ending the last segment, I think we got to a spot where there is a time where you find out, and maybe that's 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, somewhere in your life, you're going to find that doing doesn't fulfill you. That you did not, you know, it's like Jonathan Livingston Seagull, going out and getting food and coming back is helpful. It keeps you alive. But that's not living. So eventually you get to a spot where you want something more. Talk to me about maybe where that happened to you in life and how we can move in from okay living to an adventure.
We do that by shifting paradigms and even moving beyond the paradigm that we release and let go and make welcome a new paradigm. There's a point where you release all paradigms and you just live in the possibility of being. I think the philosophers talk about it. There's been a question that we used to kid about in kindergarten. I think most kindergarten kids and most of us have been there, and school kids in fourth grade and seventh grade, and then the great philosophers still debate it. And we've heard, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg?
Does it matter?
Which came first, the chicken or the egg? And so, you know, in answer, no one's ever been able to answer that question, because in consciousness, there's no beginning, there's no end. It all was present all at once. And even Genesis speaks of there was the Word and there was the light. The Word was the directive of God, and the light was the energy of God, and the Word directed that light into the possibility of being. And so, you know, in Amazon, wanting to find out which came first, the chicken or the egg, because it was important. And we've seen this joke on Facebook, but it's so pertinent to shifting paradigms. I ordered a chicken and an egg from Amazon, and when they arrive, I'll let you know the answer. There's a shift in paradigm.
Which came first?
But why, which came first? I'll let you know when Amazon should be here momentarily. But why is it in life that so often we trust Amazon to deliver on time, all the time, exactly what we ordered, rather than trusting in spirit to do exactly the same, that spirit presence of delivering just what we want on time, all the time? And there's a story I like that speaks to what we really want. The pizza in the box, the fancy new car, the new degree, the robes, the honors, the accolades that we all do to become. We do actions. We go to school. We do everything we need to become and to put on a personality. And to move beyond that, we move into a higher reality of oneness and an awareness. And there's something that if we listen to that quiet voice within, there is one truth that we all want, that we feel we can get from the pizza. We feel we can get from the new car. We believe we can get from the new degree. We believe we can get from living within the paradigms of the norm. And what we're really at, if we listen to that voice within, is love. And there's a great story I'd like to tell about Dennis the Menace. My grandfather used to read Dennis the Menace to me when I visited his house. And he loved the funny papers. My grandmother and he would share papers of the section. He always went to the funny papers, or what we call the comics.
Right.
And my favorite Dennis the Menace he shared with me was a cartoon of Dennis the Menace at his neighbor's, Mrs. Wilson's, and she's baking fresh-made homemade cookies. And she hands Dennis a big stack of homemade cookies. Said, "Take those home, share them with your family, and I want you to know that I baked love into every cookie." So the next picture shows Dennis walking across the street back to his home. He comes in his back kitchen door. His mother's doing dishes. Dennis sits down at the kitchen table. And if you know Dennis the Menace, he had a magnifying glass and he always was examining everything in life. He starts examining those cookies and he breaks a cookie in half and he looks at the middle. He looks at it with his magnifying glass. And his mother looks over and says, "Dennis, what are you doing?" And Dennis says, "Mrs. Wilson says she baked love into every cookie. And all I see are the raisins." And what the quiet voice within, what as we minister to ourselves, and we're all ministers, is how do we come to love ourselves despite the appearance or the illusion of the condition? We honor the experience. It's very real. But how do we move the experience of the condition into the experience of consciousness, of choosing what we want and trusting that if we choose to do what we love and everything else will fall into place, that it truly will? We trust Amazon more than we trust spirit to deliver on time, all the time, exactly what we
want. Well, let's talk about that, because by far and away, you and I work in the spiritual realm and in the personal development space. By far and away, the paradigm that I grew up with, and most people probably did, is there's reality. You know, I can just feel some energy coming in from up above that says, "Laura, that I love that idea." Michael, I love what Michael's talking about. You know, honest to God, I live in the real world. I got a job. I got to feed my kids, you know, and In my personal experience, and in my, I would say, generationally, growing up with the Beatles and rock and roll, there was a huge feeling as a teenager that hey, the the thing that I really want to do is be in a rock and roll band. That's what I mean. They're famous. They got lots of money. You know, they party all the time. They live on a party bus, and the parental units that were around would always say, no, you can't make a living doing rock and roll. So just for, you can do that on the weekends and go get a real job. That's the real world. You're going to have to feed your kids. You're going to have to pay your mortgage. So how can people make a transition from the real world and here? And I'm going to make a note, because another piece I want to talk about is the still small voice. Because to hear the still small voice, there's other techniques that you got to employ. It's sometimes hard to hear that when you're in traffic on the 405, right? So talk to me about the real world.
Well, I would suggest to you there's no real world and unreal world. We're saying there's a real world and an unreal world. And Science of Mind talks about the invisible world of spirit, which is pure energy. And you can call it whatever you want. You can call it consciousness. You can call it creative energy. You can call it flow. You can call it God. But there's this one energy, and that's the invisible energy, which from itself calls forth everything into visible form. But the invisible that we cannot see and the visible that we can see are one in the same. Everything in visible form, the chair you're sitting in, the clothes you're wearing, the table you're sitting at, it's the same energy, the same essence as that invisible form. And that's all been called forth through that invisible energy creating from itself through each of us. We each bring our own individual expression of life. And there's a great example of how this works. The Beatles are a great example. We can move from the real world of the Beatitudes. Yes, do unto others, be kind to others, you know. The traditional teachings of fundamental religion, the Beatitudes of how to be. And we can move from what we're told to do and be into the Beatitudes, the being attitudes of living a life which we love. And our attitude, gratitude sets our attitude. So we start with gratitude. I gratitude journal every morning. So we begin with gratitude. Our gratitude shifts our attitude into one of appreciation and joy and peace and bliss. And as we move from gratitude sets our attitude and our attitude sets our altitude. So it's as we shift our emotional state, as we shift our feelings, as we shift that energy, things come to us. We don't go looking for love when it's the place in our heart we come from. This is all about love. The greatest artists expressed love in their own form and allowed us to see into that love. And the Beatles are a perfect example. They did what they loved, but what was the message they shared with the world? Yes, we liked their music. They came to, through, and as them. But they shared the message of love and of presence. All there is love. Be here now. If you look at the Beatles song titles, you are going to get a whole new list of principles by which to live from your being presence and not from your doing forcefulness. It's moving from force into faith. And I like to see the word faith as the acronym falling always into heaven. Faith is knowing that whatever is going on in your life, you are falling always into heaven. And well, and if we fall into heaven, heaven falls always into us and flows through us.
Yeah. Well, and I know in my life and I would say for most people that have made a transformational leap, there is, I think, a spot where you're going to have to make a leap of faith and trust that there is something more for you. Now, one of the things that I really feel is true is that, and I love your example of the Beatles, is when parents say, no, you can't make a living at rock and roll, that's obviously not true. I mean, the Beatles, Rolling Stones, I mean, there's a whole group of musicians. We just saw Air Supply. They must be 80 years old. They're still making music. So,
and a great example there with Air Supply, they're not letting age be their cage. They're doing what they loved, what they love, and what loves them back. So there's an example of.
Well, and I would say that's a huge example. You know, to me, that's really kind of the message that I like to take to people is that as a human coming into, especially into our culture, that our culture says that the only way to have safety and security is you have to get a good job, get a good education, and save up your little monies and get a bank account. And that's going to give you safety and security. It's the Jonathan Livingston seagull, the normal seagull behavior. Is you wake up in the morning, you fly out to the little boat, you grab, fight for little bits of food, and you come back. That's your life. And my experience is that if you can listen to the still small voice, if you can work with yourself or with others to actually find out something that you're interested in, and then turn that interest into a passion. When you follow your passion, everything else follows. And everybody has hundreds of examples of people that they know that are working in a job that they hate, that really they're grinding it out. Life is a bore. You know, if they're lucky, they go bowling on Friday or maybe get drunk on, you know, over the weekend so they can do it again. I'm thinking that's the seagull life. That's, you know, that there's no adventure, there's no dreaming, there's no fly-highing in that life. And the leap of faith, I think, occurs when you get to the maximum fun capability of the life you've been leading and realize, no, there has to be more. And the path out is to listen to the still small voice, find out what your gift is, and start giving that gift. And once you start doing that, everything else follows.
There's a great example, you know, which we look at as the butterfly begins, you know, the process from the, you know, beginning and the right. Caterpillar and the chrysalis. That stage in between, the caterpillar never knows that it's going to become a butterfly. The caterpillar doesn't sit there and think, I'm going to become a butterfly. I'm going to do what a butterfly does to become a butterfly. I'm going to do. And, you know, Frank Sinatra said Scooby Dooby Doo. And in life, we do. You know, we do. Do then be. And the shift in consciousness is be then do. So it's a shift from do to be. And yeah. as you do from the presence of being, everything evolves. But you do have that state, that gooey, sticky state between the caterpillar and the butterfly, but that caterpillar is destined to become a butterfly, even though it doesn't know it. It just has to trust the process. It never thinks butterfly. It just allows its being presence to evolve into the butterfly. And what you're sharing about how do we move from the precedence of this world, you must, you know, work 9 to 5. It's about paying your bills, looking to the condition for permission. You can't do this because you won't survive. There's a great story about a village. And they're encouraging a young member of the village. There's a great abyss that he comes to. And he has to jump across this abyss, but it's way too far for him to jump. He cannot possibly jump as far as that gap to the other side of safety. And yet they say, come to the edge and jump. And he goes, no, I'm afraid. And they go, come to the edge of the abyss and jump. And they go, no. And he comes to the edge and he says, I'll come to the edge and I'll look, but I'm not going to jump. And the village pushes him over the edge of the abyss and he starts falling. And they shout down, flap your wings and fly. And he spreads his wings and he soars to the other side and he soars beyond the other side. And he finds peace and joy and freedom in the wings which he always had, but he never knew he had. And that's Jonathan Livingston Seagull. He learned to use his wings to fly beyond the known of flight before. Yeah. If you trust, if you step into the abyss, if you trust that you have wings, and I like to in my seminars, we do something where we stand in front, we choose a partner, and we brush each other's wings off because our wings are dusty and we haven't let them out. And then we spread our arms and we soar around the room like airplanes. And you've never seen adults have so much fun soaring around the room like 3 years old with their arms spread, pretending to be airplanes. And they get the feeling of joy.
See, I got a whole new exercise for my flying.
Dust off your wings and now let's fly. And we do it together. And that's part of the power of ministry for me, is we do this together in spiritual, like-minded community. The power of the unity of community, of coming together with people who believe in their dreams, who spread their wings. We align with people who spread their wings a little bit further than we have, and we align with people that have spread them less far, and we share the spreading of the wings in a like-minded, centered community where we support each other, and we raise up, praise up, and amaze each other up in the truth that love is all there is. When we create from love, we express from love, and we show up in the presence of love, it's an amazing energy which guides you into exactly what you came here to be.
Yeah. Well, and two quick things before we run out of time. We got about 5 minutes left. First of all, support. Part of what you're experiencing and you're explaining is that you're right. The unity of community. If you want to make a transformation in your life, it's very important that one of the things that we grew up, a paradigm that we grew up was the John Wayne, I can do it myself, the Lone Ranger, I'm going to go do it myself. And especially in male culture, it's very ingrained in male culture to just get it done yourself. And in reality, if you're going to make a big leap, it is very helpful to have support to do that. So whether it's community within a spiritual community. Obviously we have a great spiritual community. That's one way, a group of friends. It could be, as a life coach, it could be that you work with a life coach or a mentor. Somehow, some way, it's very, very difficult. About 95% of people fail to make it across that gap that you talk about, where you are and where you want to go. There's that gap that you were talking about, and you're right. It's very challenging to get over that gap without somebody to help you get over.
Perfect example of how we've been indoctrinated with the Lone Ranger. The Lone Ranger is going to save the world. John Wayne's going to save the village. And there's a great story I love to talk about how we come together in that unity of community and that oneness of faith and love and light. And when we come together in that embodiment of community, all things are possible. And it's a story of Umbutu. It's a village in Africa that's been untouched by computer civilization. And an archaeologist from the West, from our culture, goes over and he discovers this tribe that has never been touched, newly discovered tribe, untouched by the modern world. And he goes, I'm going to prove that our being into the presence of me, my meanness, it's all about me, is biological. It's inherent with us. So he sets out a beautiful basket of fruit in the center table in a village, and he has the 20 kids in the village line up from age 19 to 4 around this table and has them back up. And he says, now whoever runs to the center table gets all of the basket of fruit. And he goes, 1, 2, 3, go. And they're all lined up and they line up, they hold hands together, they walk to the basket of fruit, they circle the basket of fruit, and they share the basket of fruit. You have this piece, you have this piece. And he's shocked because he said, why wouldn't one of you run ahead and gotten all of the fruits for yourself? And the 19-year-old, the oldest of the village youngsters, says, how can any of us win unless all of us win? And that's a paradigm shift from survival to thrival of community. How can any of us win unless all of us win? And that's the concept of ministry. That's the concept of Science of Mind. Oneness. We're all in this together. When you find that community, stay with them, be with them, share with them, and raise praise, amaze each other up into the impossible, into I am possible. That's ministry. That's what I love about my new journey. And trust me, I'm dusting off my wings every day. Well, they're dusty, but I'm dusting them off every day.
Yeah. Well, we have just a minute or so to go. Talk to the audience about your book and where they can find you in case they want more information.
Okay, my book is Heartlight, Illusion to Illumination, Honoring the Soul Whispers Within. And on my website, I list where I'm speaking. I'll be speaking in Lake Havasu in a few weeks. I speak in Yuma, Arizona fairly frequently, speak in California. So I do speaking. I do workshops. They're all listed on the website, on the Facebook page. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear your concepts and your ideas. We're all in this together. as you grow, I grow, as I grow, you grow. Let's raise up, praise up, amaze up, and let's spread our wings together. Heartlight, illusion to
spread
illumination.
Spread our wings together.
And soul whispers within.
Yeah.
It's time to fly into the life of your dreams.
All right.
So it is. It's been an honor being here, Laura. It's been great fun. I'm going to have pizza as soon as we get off. I'm making a pizza. And there better be pizza in that box because that's what I'm expecting.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Michael, thank you so much. We'll have you back because there's so much more that we have to talk about. You've been listening to the Laura Meek Show. Dream on, fly high, live adventurously. I look forward to seeing you. I'll be back in 2 weeks on Wednesday at noon. That's when you see us here at Fly High Living. Go out and make it a great day.
You've been listening to the Laura Meek Show. Dream on, fly high, live adventurously on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. And we hope you'll join us next month as Laura helps you find your unique gifts so you can bring them to the world. For more information on Laura Meeks or to listen to past shows, visit her website at flyhighliving.com. Check out her hit Dream On 12-week course where you get the personal attention you need to fly high in your new life.